she's 40 loving dickheads, dreaming about a premiership cup. We love our clubs, but they never win two flags in 100 years. That shit house, if you think we'll be insightful, clever, or just well researched, we're here to say that's not the case. We'll just go out and wing it. We are two guys, one cup.
It is Wednesday, May the 26th. Welcome to Two Guys, One Cup, an AFL adjacent podcast. My name is Will Anderson.
And my name is Charlie Clawson. And people are expecting a high energy podcast from me this week. I've got news for you. I hate football. I have avoided football news at all cost. I have not listened or watched anything. I mentioned last week, Will, after the Geelong loss, that my mate Nick, who's a long-suffering Saints fan as well, that he floated the theory that perhaps we were in hell, just like The Good Place. We thought for a moment that we're in heaven, but we're actually in hell. And I'm starting to think that this theory has some credence, because how else can you explain a decision 5 years ago for you and I, two people who had like teams that had won one flag each, to let's do an AFL podcast, let's do a footy podcast. We love talking about footy. We've got a good self-deprecating sense of humor about our clubs. And then in that first year, I see you win a flag. And you know what? I was happy for you. It gave me hope. I'm like, that's great. A literal underdog story. All I need to do is bide my time and surely the wheel will turn. But no. That would be too happy an ending for me. What I am going to do, what El Diablo himself has in store for me is I'm going to do this podcast for eternity, and I'm just going to watch your team go on to become a powerhouse, multiple flags, a dog's dynasty, if you will, while my fucking team that beat you guys in a final, like, was it 12 games ago? We beat you in a final. We put in that effort. I can't tell you. You know, it's been a lot of soul searching. I was angry at the club for a while. I was angry at the players for a while. And now I'm just angry at myself, because the club is what the club is. It's like that you know, that parable about the frog and the scorpion, you know. St Kilda has always said to me, this is who we are. Don't get mad when we crush you every year. I'm the one who keeps bloody signing up for this. I'm the one who keeps fronting up, getting a little bit of hope, thinking that it's going to be different. But it isn't different. It's always the same. And it gets worse somehow. And then I start to feel guilty because everyone that is in my immediate circle, like my wife and my friends, have to hear about this shit from me. And it's like, if I was in a relationship with this person, you all would have told me to break up with them a long time ago. But I'm an idiot. I'm a glutton for punishment. So let's talk about football.
So firstly, if this were The Good Place, this would be the final episode of the season where you have the realization of what has been going on. This is actually a very big breakthrough for you, because maybe St Kilda, like maybe your friend was wrong. Maybe it isn't St Kilda that is putting you guys. Maybe you are literally
the problem,
like in the good place, bad place. Like you have died and in some sort of like hellish, like, I mean, the fact that you were going to go straight to the first. Like when heaven was looking at you as a younger kid, you know, good Catholic boy, huge Catholic family, went as a missionary, like you were real, like you were a hot draft prospect. They were like, we've got him into the, you know, Catholic Church Academy early on. We've indoctrinated him through the schooling system. This is one of ours. Mm-hmm. Lock him in.
Yeah.
A holy father and son draft pick is what they thought about you. But you went away from the church, and you know what you did?
Mm.
You didn't look at those Ten Commandments where they said you should not worship any other god but me, and you started to worship another god. And ironically, the name of that god was the Saints. Like, that's rubbing it in. If you're saying, I turn my back on you, actual God, but every weekend I'm going to go, see that fat bloke who's standing in the square? He's my new god. His name's Tony Lockett. We call him Plugger. I turn my back on you, Lord and creator of everything. And so now you're in some sort of purgatory. You're in a football purgatory where, like, what's your worst nightmare? It's literally, this is how it would be lured in. You think this is a good time. We start doing this podcast. We're sharing these stories together. Mm. And then suddenly my team, I mean, it's pretty much the only thing that really sums up what is going on in this scenario. Like, that's the only way the Bulldogs could actually have won that premiership. It's got to be a personal punishment to you. But not only that, to then have that hope for a second, you know, to buy into the idea, if it can happen to Will, it can happen to me. And then the Saints gave you some reason to believe that maybe it was going to happen to them. You didn't just beat us 12 games ago. You embarrassed us 12 games ago. We flew into those finals and you just beat us up and made us look like we were miles off it. So, yeah, I mean, I'm coming around to the theory that, like, you are in your own personal hell and I am your demon tormentor.
But it feels personal. Like, it does.
Why I've been so anti-demon. It's to throw you off the scent.
Yeah, right. I am a demon. Perfect. I mean, it is one of those things that we discuss a lot on the show about. It's just an arbitrary decision. Like, it doesn't really. You invest it with as much meaning as you want. Like, I don't have to care about football or my team this much, but, you know, it's that quote that I saw this year that is so ringing true, and it's the hope that kills you. You know, like, you just saw a glimpse of how they, you know, if they'd kicked straighter against Geelong, okay, maybe we'll get the season back on track. And then 8 days later to dish that up. And to be honest, I didn't even watch it. Like, I watched 5 minutes of it. I was trying to get my daughter to sleep. I'm minding her on my own at the moment. So I finally got her down probably like, you know, an hour into the game. And I went down and I was like, before I turn this on, let me just check the score. You know, because if it's close, great. I'll just go back and watch the start. I get excited. If we're winning, even better. I can go in and be like, I checked the score at halftime. And I was like, what has happened? Like, I fully, like, expected to jump on AFL.com and find out that, you know, 17 players had been withdrawn before the first bounce. Like, it was a cricket score. It was, Nick said last week, you know, they find new ways of breaking your heart. It's not just that. They find new ways to lose. Like, I think this is the most we've ever lost the Bulldogs by. It's the most we've ever lost at Marvel Stadium. And that aside is all fine. Like, you know, teams lose games and stuff. But we're a team that won a final last year. Like, this is the thing that I just, and most Saints fans just can't wrap our heads around, is like, who are these players? And what's here with this coaching staff? Were we just a team that just adapted to COVID better than anyone else? And that's what we went off the back of. Shorter quarters, you know, hub life, all that kind of stuff. And now when we're sort of put back into the real world of football, we can't cope. Like, Mick Malthouse was the one last year who said, whoever wins the premiership this year, there'll be an asterisk next to it because it's not, you know, real footy. Fucking don't tell me Mick Malthouse was right.
Well, I don't think there's any asterisks next to Richmond, and they won it. So I think that refutes the Mick Malthouse argument. But could it be true of St Kilda? Could it be true of Port Adelaide? Like, are there teams that represented themselves better in hub life? Well, here's the thing, Charlie. As we know, in the last couple of days, shit's got real again. We might be about to swing straight back into hub life.
Oh, God.
We might be having a hub life-led recovery. You might see the Saints make a COVID-inspired run at the finals.
Like, this might be
the time for Port Adelaide. See, like, it's bad for the world, but it's been great for the club. It's really bonded them back together. They're playing as a cohesive unit.
I mean, I don't necessarily buy into, like, I understand this idea of, well, look, you know, what do you expect when you bring in a bunch of, like, you know, trade in a bunch of players and you don't grow them from the ground up? Like, for a start, they're fucking professional footballers, all right? Like, just because you drafted them an 18-year-old doesn't mean that there is some kind of inherent, you know, birthright that they are a Bulldog or a Saint or a Bomber or whoever, whatever team they get drafted to. Yes, I understand the idea.
A bunch of those Richmond guys didn't come from Richmond.
Yeah, Port Adelaide.
Grew up on Bridge Road.
Look at Port Adelaide's best players, apart from Robbie Gray and Travis Boak. They're all imports. Charlie Dixon came from the Gold Coast. Like, that's what Ali Alia came from Sydney. Like, teams do that. There's this just kind of, I mean, look, I know, I said I didn't read anything or watch anything, but I do feel like I've picked up stuff through osmosis. You only need to read a headline or whatever. And I just, without even reading the full articles, I can tell what everyone is saying about the club. And you know what? They fucking deserve it. Like, I defend St Kilda to the hilt, and I am, you know, a passionate Saints fan, but Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Like, it's so embarrassing. It's so embarrassing to be a St Kilda supporter sometimes. Like, what do we stand for? One flag in 140 fucking plus years, and then this happens. Like, I'm done. I'm fucking done. I feel like I'm done, Will. You have to talk me off the edge of the cliff.
Okay, I'll talk you down.
Okay.
Never watched the game. I mean, there's nothing to be gained from watching the game.
Have you seen the documentary Grizzly Man? Where Vim Vendors listens to the tape of that guy getting like eaten alive by the bear, and then says to his girlfriend, "Whatever you do, never listen to this tape. You must never listen to this." Is it like that?
Yes, in that I think that there is some value that if you did see it, the Bulldogs were just very good. They had one of those nights where they got their game going and it was irrepressible. I can't remember watching a game like where I was just like, we are so in control of this. Like, we are just doing everything we want to do, like just the disposal, the tricks, the goals, just everything about it was so, like, even when we weren't scoring goals, we were just dominating possession, and just, it was one of those ones where when you're barracking for the team, I can't actually remember, like, we kind of dominated that game more than I've seen them dominate a game in a very long time. I don't think it was all the Saints' fault. I think it was just one of those things that the Bulldogs style, if you let it get going, it's very hard to stop. Like, Richmond found a way to stop it. But in a general sense, like, I mean, what I loved the most about it was, I mean, Treloar went down and it's a pretty serious injury. And I think, you know, we've lost Dunkley now from the midfield. We've lost Treloar from the midfield. But you did really see, oh, Bailey Smith has more time to get the ball now, and Bailey Dale has more time to get the ball now. And like, some of this next generation of talent that they've got in the Bulldogs, it was one of those games where it wasn't like St Kilda were like kicking the ball into their head or anything. You know what I mean? Like, they weren't embarrassing themselves other than they weren't really playing in the game much. Like, they were just there to make the Bulldogs look
witches'
good.
Hats.
But they didn't look bad, if that makes it. Is that a weird thing? I mean, of course they must have been bad, but they probably didn't have the ball enough to really fuck shit up.
Yeah. I mean, it's probably a case of, like, the day we had our worst game, you had your best game. It's just like, it was just, the imbalance is that great. But the thing is, Will, we've had that, like, worst game four times this year. And early on, I was like, okay, well, it's an injuries thing and we've just got no rhythm and stuff. But we don't actually have a lot of excuses now that it's halfway through the season and every team has injuries and stuff. It's just, I just don't get it. I don't get it. And I don't know if it's, I mean, I would love to be making fun of us. I'd love to be barracking for another team right now and just making fun of St Kilda for being like the Charlie Brown of the AFL. But it fucking sucks, man. It really fucking sucks. And it sucks to have to talk about football for another however many weeks, 14, 15 weeks that we're going to do this show. And potentially I just watch my team just fucking fart about and beat some lowly teams and get thumped by the good teams. It's like, gives a shit. I got better things to do with my time. Well, I we don't. That's the worst Friday. Part.
We almost missed Friday night's game because of COVID. That's something. Like, I mean, we didn't. Bont re-signed. Good week for the Bulldogs. I mean, that was. I wasn't willing to say out loud in public how invested I was in that decision, because I thought at age 47 I was beyond having that level of an affection for a sports person. But it truly would have broken my heart if I there was a few times during the early part of the season where I literally, like, I was just trying to get inside his head. I was like, he's such a nice guy, such a good leader. What would ever motivate him to go to another club? Like, what would it take at the Bulldogs that, and he said that basically, he said to them at the start of the season that he was probably going to re-sign, but he just wanted to see how they started and how they went early on. Right. And I think if nothing else we get out of this season, we played well enough that Marcus stayed. You know what I mean?
Like, he's having,
like, even if we don't win the grand final, like, even if whatever, we played well enough that we didn't lose the bond.
I mean, of all the things that he's ticking off this year, I mean, he'll probably win a Brownlow as well. Of all the, he'll probably be a premiership captain and a Brownlow medalist. But of all his accolades this year, I think his Amy ad is possibly the standout. Like, I saw that ad and it took me like 30 seconds to realize it was Marcus Bontempelli. He's so, like, I'm an actor and I watched him going, he's committed. Like, I totally buy that he's a dude whose car's broken down and he's got this really important mission. Like, he's, so he can play football really well. He can also act. I mean, the guy is just in that sweet spot. I reckon they should just, like, put him in charge of the vaccine rollout. I reckon the Bont would get it done. Get him to do it on foot. I mean, we know he's got, like, silky I mean, skills and delivers.
It has been, as we know, an issue with delivery.
Yeah.
And there is no one who has less of an issue with delivery in the AFL than Marcus Bontempelli.
I mean, Marcus, imagine, know you deliver the ball lace out. Can you deliver an injection needle out? That's what we're saying. Just kick a bunch of needles into these apartments. Can you? You'd fucking hit the target each time.
Pre-game entertainment. So you get a whole bunch of, like, yeah, get people into different bays and they're all like in age groups. And so you got your over 50s that are all in one particular bay. And then just before the game, like they used to kick out little footies, but Bonk comes out with like, you know, just a bag full of syringes and some vaccines and he just kicks them into people in the crowd.
Well, I'm sure a bloody Footscray wouldn't have a hard time finding a bag full of syringes, would he?
Josh Bruce kicks a couple of AstraZenecas into his own face.
Blinds himself. Misses the grand final. So, Josh Bruce. All right. You're not... Look, so far in you talking me off the cliff, you've basically talked up the Bulldogs for the last 5 minutes. Where's my ray of hope? Where's my silver lining?
Your ray of hope is actually containing what I'm saying. Because okay. I think that the Bulldogs, like, just had a really great day. I don't think that, yes, St Kilda are patchy, but it's never as bad as it seems. It's never as good as it seems. And I think this game, you would be an absolute fool to make really bold decisions about how good the Bulldogs are and how bad the Saints are based on this game, because I just think it was one of those days.
Well, you know who leapt to St Kilda's defense? Was Gerald Healy, my favorite commentator, Gerald Healy.
Gerald.
Yeah.
Who I made a little comment on last week's podcast about the fact that he puts in some anti-Dan Andrews propaganda into his into his quiz and got some feedback from some people going, you've clearly not been listening as much as you used to, because that is not a one-off occurrence. He is just slipping in some dictator Dan shit in the middle of like footy quizzes on a regular basis, apparently.
Oh, he's going to have ammunition this week, that's for sure. He was, because when they got Nick Revolt to do a pretty forensic dissection of what's going on. I thought actually Rui was pretty spot on. I mean, that's the other thing too that I think people have underestimated is it's not so much a power vacuum, but when you have a figure like Nick Revolt at your club for 15 years, who is such a leader and a professional and set incredible standards and stuff, and then he leaves. Like, I think there was a lot of deferring to Nick. You know, there wasn't, that maybe the leadership spread wasn't as wide as it could have been, because you had such a standout leader who set such high standards himself. And then, because the year after Nick left, we fell in that hole in 2018, and then we sort of found our feet again. But, you know, I love Jack Steele as a player, and, you know, I think Jaron Geary is very serviceable, but I don't see a lot of leaders out there. Like, I don't see a lot of players who are like talking to each other and urging each other, you know, to raise their standards. Like, I do feel like, I think we've got a lot of good players, but they're all fucking introverts. Even Max King is, you know, potentially could be our best player. He's a shy 20-year-old kid. Like, he doesn't have that kind of, he's not at that level yet where he can lead. And it's just so disheartening. You know, it's just so frustrating, because I just don't know. I don't know how I'm going to get through the rest of this year, honestly. If this is what it's going to be like, where we, you know, play okay 1 week and beat a team we should beat and then get absolutely pummeled by a real genuine contender, then that's not fun. There's no fun in that.
I mean, it's taking a lot of the joy away from how good my team is as well. Maybe I'm in the bad place. Maybe this is the great reveal, that my bad place is that I am having this incredible success with my team, but I just don't feel in a position to really celebrate it because you're going through this terrible time.
Well, you can fucking celebrate it. I mean, your team is good, and I mean, I would look. Part of me is like, if I'm honest, I don't want you guys to win another flag. Like, I don't want you to get. Enough. I don't want you to get too far. Like, out
I'd
of my
appreciate
postcode,
you to be honest.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. I don't. If you get too far out of my postcode, I worry that it'll affect our friendship and the way we relate to football. Like, I don't.
I personally, just for balance, am willing to roll the dice on that. Let's see how it feels.
Of course, because you're moving up in the world. Like, you know, this is Goodwill Hunting. You know, I'm Goodwill. I want you to stay. Let's just bloody stay and be working class. And you're like, mate, I'm a genius. I've got to get out of here. I've got to make something of my life.
I mean, the Western, it is one of those times where, because again, as you said, I have nothing to do with it. It is not like I am some great investor that just saw the value in the Western Bulldogs at an early age and was willing to ride the, you know, the highs and the lows of it to get to this period of time. But it does feel like when you look at that Bulldogs team and you look at the depth they have and you look at the players that they've managed to, because we've still got a better team than the team that played on Saturday night to play for us. Like, Jamara hasn't debuted. English wasn't playing. Dunkley wasn't playing. Treloar didn't play for most of it. Like, Wallace is still in the twos. Like, there's a whole bunch of, like, really decent next level players who might even make that team better than the team we currently have. It's exciting. It's genuinely, you're like, oh, this is... And I feel like you're a real downer. And you're ruining it for me.
I am a real downer. But fuck you. I mean, you've seen a flag already. Like, and you get to have another one as well? How is that fair? I mean, and that's the other thing is, like, you know, I talk about jumping off and stuff, but I'm not... I can't. I can't jump off because you know what will happen. I mean, This is the good place. If I jump off, they'll win a flag. I'll do a bloody Alex Williams. I'll jump off a team. I'll follow on another one. And then the team that I was originally with will go on to win a flag. But I don't know, man.
Then like, don't you owe that to them? If you really care about them, don't you owe it to them to leave them and let them win a flag without the dead weight of you around their ankles?
Yeah, maybe. But I just don't know if I could support like another team. I don't know if...
Okay. Let's put different direction.
All right.
Out of desperation comes opportunity, right? It's always sure. Darkest just before the dawn. You're a Saints ambassador, but as we've spoken about previously, you know, there's a couple of high-profile St Kilda supporters who tend to, you know, just be higher on the list than you are.
Yeah.
You're never really probably going to do anything in your life, and I mean this in the nicest possible way, I think you'd agree with me, that's going to rocket you past a Molly or a Warney or an Eric Banner. Like, you've left your run pretty late. This podcasting's really going to have to kick off that you're suddenly a more desirable, in the same way as, like, I need Chris Hemsworth to die in a terrible accident for me to get back up the rankings at the Bulldogs. I understand it. There's nothing I can do about where we sit in the star structure. But is there a possibility that the club goes so badly that those people, those fair-weather fans, the high-profile celebrities, they turn on the club? Because sometimes you see that, right? Warney will take off. Yeah. On the Saints, maybe you've got to be in the background a little finger style, little Sam Mitchell style, whispering in people's ears, but you're actually working against purposes. You're trying to get Warney offside with the club. You're trying to get Eric Banner to say, I'm not going to go to Saints games anymore, because then that's a clear run for you to rocket yourself up to the most valuable Saints supporting celebrity.
But why would I want that if this is the kind of fucking team they're going to be, Will?
Well,
why
for when
I
they want- come back. No, you weasel in these dark times.
So I'm playing that's a big gamble. Like, you know, that's a lot of effort for something that has not happened in my lifetime. You know, like there's not a lot, if we look at history, there's not a lot of evidence that to suggest this is a gambit that'll pay off in my favor. I mean, Eric Banner has been strangely quiet. You know who hasn't been quiet is Andrew Bassett, the president. He sent out a letter, an email to the members on, I think it was Monday night. And I know a lot of Saints fans feel a little funny about it because he sort of, I liked it. I thought it was actually quite an honest and transparent, you know, bit of correspondence where he said, look, and I'm paraphrasing, but this is what, no one at the club thought this is where we'd be. In fact, I think he used words along the lines of this is even worse than our most pessimistic expectations for 2021. And then he also said something that was sort of people found controversial where he said, you know, we thought that, you know, our window to really be a contender was 2022, that all we wanted to do in 2021 was to compete well against the top teams, and then the window would really be ours in 2022. And so there's a bunch of Saints fans who are like, oh, fucking, what are you talking about? And we played a final and that's like loser mentality. And I'm like, I like that honesty. We did arrive ahead of schedule, I think, you know, considering what our drafting and our trading process has been like in the last couple of weeks. I think we were a little ahead of schedule. But what I'm thinking is that maybe the year we're having now is the year we should have had last year when we first brought in, you know, what do you call them? The Foreign Legion, you know, Brad Hill and Zach Jones and Dougal Howard and all those guys. So maybe the year we're having now is the year we should have had last year where there's no connection, the performances are completely inconsistent, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then if they're talking about the 2022 window, we have the good year where we play finals and have maybe a surprise win in 2021, and then we contend next year. But because we've got the fucking progression back to front, I don't know what happens next year. Maybe we go backwards. We started in reverse. I mean, you could argue that the Bulldogs winning in 2016 or the Hawks winning in 2008, they were ahead of schedule. Now you guys are kind of where you should be, well, considering the draft picks and the trades you've had.
The mix of that team also meant that there were, like, you know, for a team that won in 2016, there's a whole bunch of those players who aren't at the club or aren't playing in the ones in 2021, right? Like, there's been a massive turnover of players, some of them good, some of them ended their careers. Like, they're at the this list that Bevo seems to have compiled and the team down there have compiled over the last few years seems to be building a whole bunch of people. You don't, it's not enough to have just one or two or three, a Jack Steele or whatever, who's a good player. You need Zach Jones to be playing alongside him, and you need Brad Hill to be playing alongside him, and you need those guys to have, like, that's how it works now. It's just not enough. It's too much on the shoulders. We've seen it at Carlton with Cripps, right? Mm. If you just leave it to one person, it is a bigger job than just a one-person job. So you kind of need to have enough years where you get enough. I mean, the Bulldogs have been lucky. We've had some father-sons and some academies and a bit of luck. The Saints needed a bit of luck. That's what they need. They just need to have, you know, the rub of the green, a little bit of luck.
That's the Saints' story for 140 years. I mean, well, the ball.
I mean,
just,
then your luck's got to turn. That's the way of think? Luck. That's how it works.
The further we are, the
just
further we
put
are.
Put down from your luck. Last 100, because just because it's come up red all those other times does not mean.
Well, we'll do a change of tact. We'll stop being the St Kilda misery hour, and let's talk about one of our favourite players, Matt Rowell, with a bit of Rowling coverage. Or where's Matt at? Some exciting news.
Where's Matt at?
Out of the AFL, out of the Gold Coast yesterday. Things might have changed considering that the Suns Hawthorn game has now been postponed. But the headline is Raoul return could happen within weeks. Now, you remember, Will, a few weeks ago, I made the prediction that the Gold Coast only needed to win another four games and just hang on till round 14 when he was first predicted to come back. Then they wouldn't lose another game, and they'd make the finals and he'd win the Brownlow. Now, if he comes back earlier than round 14, bloody hell, who knows? I mean, they might finish top four.
So what's the prediction? Where's he looking at coming back? What does the article have to say?
Okay, this is from Michael Whiting. Matt Rowell could be back playing the AFL in less than 3 weeks, so 1 week early. The Gold Coast midfielder is ramping up his recovery from a PCL injury suffered in the opening round against West Coast. Coach Stuart Dew said next week would be vital in the 19-year-old's progress. Structurally, his knee is fine and he's advancing in his skills, Dew said on Wednesday. Probably in 7 to 8 days, we'll have a bit more of a time frame. At the moment, he's ticking all the boxes to be thereabouts after the bye. So when they say that structurally his knee is fine and is advancing in his skills, does that mean he's now, like, he's done all his, like, testing and stuff and he's moving to ball work?
I imagine. I mean... This is a man who's got 52 footballs at his own house.
Yeah. Like, how do you keep him away from a football?
I mean, do they have to lock up the 52 footballs? Like, in the time where he's not meant to be doing ball work, where he's got to look after his knee, how does he resist that temptation at home when he's just surrounded by the thing that he loves that he can't touch?
Do you think that maybe what they did is they take the 52, they say, look, Matt, we know you love your 52 footies, but we can't have you touching these before you're ready. So we're actually going to restitch all 52 into just one giant football. He still has them, but it's just one giant football that he can't possibly take out and kick. Although, if I know Matt Rowell, he would have taken that giant football out of the park and he would have been doing bloody skill sessions morning, noon and night. Ground ball gets, one-handed pickups, spinning out of trouble with a giant football made out of 52 other footballs.
I like to think that they made him, you know how they'll get them to sleep in those, like, you know, oxygen chambers and stuff like that to aid recovery. I hope that he slept inside his giant footy. They made him a giant footy. They zipped it open. He popped in there at night and they gassed him up to help him recover.
So do you think it's all, is it like one of those kids, you know how kids have like race car beds and stuff? Do you think they just took the giant football and made like a nice leather bed out of it that he sleeps in, just a giant football? I mean, he is a giant kid. Like, he's only 18 or 19 or something, isn't he?
19 years old.
The article goes on just to talk about how much Stewie Dew is looking forward to taking on the Hawks at Darwin this weekend, which, as we know, is not going to happen. I mean, the real bummer about this whole COVID is that they've cancelled all the Sir Doug Nicholls round launches and all the festivals around that, which is really annoying because I love Doug Nicholls round. The Saints jumper this
Don
year.
Don Rickles round. Don, I love that Don also. Rickles. Don Rickles the round is one of my absolute favourites.
The zinger. It's just insults. From at the press conference is just the coaches just hurling zingers at journalists. Who do you think would be the best at hurling zingers?
If the coaches had to go Don Rickles?
Yeah. Reckon Chris Fagan. Chris Fagan has a Don Rickles kind of like, you know, he has a pretension of being like, geez, you know, but he could just be hurling out some Don Rickles style zingers.
Yeah, I think he could too. He's got a bit of old school about him. And like Vaudeville. In the right, if you got him, I think he probably has like a, like people who have that level of compassion also have they can see the worst in people as well, but they have a way of managing it and hiding it and not like letting it dominate their personality. But if they are given permission to let it out in it, yes, I think he, and I think Chris Scott would take it too far.
Yeah. Like, it would be more like your edgelord kind of moody
real
comedian.
Mean. Yeah. Just real, real mate.
There'd be cell phone footage of Chris Scott like just tearing into a journalist. Yeah. They'd just get released online and he'd be cancelled.
Yeah. that's
Who designed the Bulldogs Indigenous Guernsey this year?
There was a Lindsay Gilbey connection. I know that. I saw him explaining it. I can't remember. I did watch a video about it earlier in the week. I should remember, but I would love, we've talked about this a little bit before, because we can't have Sir Doug Nicholls round, how about for the rest of the season as alternate jumpers, people wear their Indigenous jumpers?
I love the Indigenous jumpers. I would love it if they were a permanent fixture, if they were like the permanent away jumper or something. I just reckon they look so...
Well, let's try it. Let's try it for the rest of the year. Let's just say
imagine what kind of argument Collingwood and Port could get into over their Indigenous currencies. Jesus Christ, that's a whole new can of worms.
I mean, I feel like it's bad taste to wear prison bars in Indigenous round. I feel like that would bring out the worst in supporters, I've got to be honest with you. So let's really
Nicky Widmer designed the Saints one, and he didn't go with the traditional sort of the dot painting, Indigenous painting. He went with, like, he's been doing art classes, so it's Nicky's original. Yep. But he slipped in a little silhouette of him in the famous kind of, you know, I'm black and proud pose. And I'm like, has that happened before where the artist has just said, I'm just going to throw myself in there. There you go, guys. There's a little self-portrait in the corner there.
Equivalent of James Fosdyke, who does all our art for our podcast, putting secret dicks in the posters. So that's essentially Nicky Widmer's much more sophisticated version of James Fosdyke's hidden dicks.
To get that joke fully, you probably should listen to our other podcast, Tofop, which is at tofop.com, with a lot of other great podcasts. Will does one called Willosophy. Who's on this week, Will?
So this week on the show, a couple of really interesting people. Anna Piper Scott, who is a trans woman comedian and absolutely funny, really interesting story. And then tomorrow, when people are hearing this, Andrew McCarthy. Yes, 80s Brat Packer.
Blaine himself.
Blaine. His name is Blaine.
Sounds like a major appliance. Star of Mannequin and Weekend at Bernie's.
He is on Willosophy on Friday. Everybody can hear that. If you're a Patreon subscriber, patreon.com/Willosophy, you get it a day early ad-free. And we also have a Patreon page, patreon.com/Tofop, which also covers this podcast. So if you like this show and you would like to support us financially to keep making it and keep putting out content, the best place to go is patreon.com/Tofop. Sign up and you unlock a whole bunch of bonus material there.
Will, it's time now for everyone's favourite segment, the Player Profile Pocket. What the fuck is it called? I always forget. It's called the Pocket Profile. The Pocket Profile Pocket. It's that everyone's favourite segment, the Pocket Profile Pocket, all right? Shut up. Get ready for it.
Good intro.
this week, look, I don't have a lot to be happy about this week, all right? You're lucky I'm even doing the show. This week, we're going to take a look inside the brain, or the mind, the brain and the mind, of Brody Grundy.
I like it. Good.
This was sent in by a listener who, I'm sorry, I don't actually know what your name is, because when you send me these, it's like your handle, and I don't want to say your handle in case it's like, I don't know, offensive or something like that. But thank you, listener, who keeps sending this person, and you know who you are. And if you want to send me your real name and let me credit you next week, you can certainly do that. Anyway, Brody Grundy, how well do you think, off the top of your head, how well do you think you know Brody Grundy?
Not sure.
Okay.
Like, I think kind of my vibe is like intelligence meets hippie, not like full on student of the game would be where I was going.
Having read ahead, you're absolutely correct. I think if you can stay in that profile, if you were some kind of profiler, I think you're well on your way to understanding the mind of Brody Grundy.
Okay. It does make him less predictable, though. Like, I mean, you know, my usual lock-ins, LeBron James and, you know, the Super Bowl, these sort of things might not necessarily be things that
his,
I get to...
His dinner guests, not the typical Dalai Lama. Dinner guests. Yeah, yeah, like, close. Very... Anyway, we'll get to it. Let's start with an easy one. What is Brody Grundy's nickname?
Okay. Reg?
Nah. It's much less clever than that.
Brody Grundy, Reg Grundy, Undies, Undy Mundy, Dave.
Hey, look, David and Goliath. You're going Goliath. To see, all right, we're going to have to stop. We're going to have to start again. That's, close. It's
Broads?
It's BG.
Okay, BJ.
See, and that, all right, that gives you a little indicator. This is not your normal footy player profile. BJ. It's not
when
Rhodes,
he's playing badly, BFG. Brody fucking Grundy, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Not the big friendly giant. But Goliath, good link back.
As a kid, what did you want to be? I'll give you a hint because it's not the typical answer. A popular children's show for the time.
Oh, okay. I wanted to appear. I wanted to host.
As a kid, what did you want to be? It was a popular children's show.
A character from popular children's show. Dora the Explorer.
No, a bit before that. Sort of a bit after our vintage, I'd say.
Oh,
if he was 10 years old. Yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to, there's a bit of a gap in my knowledge.
I'm thinking like early 90s. They
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle. Some sort of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
Yeah, after that, also had a
complicated Mighty Morphin
name.
Power Ranger.
He wanted to be a Power Ranger. There you go. What team did he follow as a kid?
He's from Adelaide. I know that. He's from South Australia. So probably
not,
the Crow.
Not a South Australian team. Victorian team.
Because I was going to say, he likes the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Maybe he was a Port Power fan also, and there's going to be a power stream through this. But it's a Victorian team that he buried for. Collingwood?
Close.
Carlton.
So far, I don't feel like you're really getting him. I think maybe I gave you too much information at the start. I've thrown you with all the kind of, you know, his
it's just that, bear. The thing about like predicting what AFL football is normally like, there is a narrow field of choices I have. Whereas if you're like Brody Grundy, you're like, this guy's off the reservation. It could be fucking anyone. He's
anything.
Crazy.
Yeah, right.
Like it could be anything, right? Like he's a madman. Back to Carlton. He was from South Australia. I don't know what's going on with BG. I'm going to get inside his head. I'll get to know him as we go through.
I'm just looking ahead to see who's his favorite comedian is, just to see how far off the typical
footballer
he is.
This could almost be my one shot. If we're going to throw in a random element, if it turns out that BG is a big fan of WA, I will be wrapped.
I got some bad news for you, mate. He could be describing you. But we'll get to that in a moment. Who's the best player he's ever played with?
So a fellow Collingwood player, Scott Pendlebury.
No, retired.
Oh, retired Collingwood player.
Doesn't mind a bit of a Twitter rant.
Dane Swan.
Brownlee medalist, that makes sense. I'm actually surprised they crossed paths. I would have thought that, I guess, because I don't know how long Brody Grundy's been playing football. He came after that sort of premiership era, didn't he? He would have started.
I guess he probably started as they were finishing.
He was finishing up, yeah. Who's his most admired opponent? Now, I gave you this clue last time and it didn't seem to help, so I'll give it to you again. This guy is a regular fixture at sportsmen's nights as a punchline?
Oh, yeah, Dean Cox.
Dean Cox. If you could ask someone to be your mentor, who would it be? Oh, fuck, I got to Google who this is.
So is it a footballer? It's not
somebody.
Yeah,
no, I'm pretty sure it's a footballer. Okay. Let me just find out.
Current day footballer, Collingwood footballer, retired footballer.
Yeah, no, plays for a South Australian team. You'll never get it. His initials are RA.
I play.
And he's now plays for the Gold Coast, apparently. Yeah, he started at Adelaide. He's now at the Gold Coast. Rory Atkins. They must be South Australian junior teammates or something. Okay, yeah. What is Brody's preferred grand final time slot? Day, night, twilight.
Okay.
Now, so, bit of a different cat.
Yeah.
But not that different. That's my clue.
He's a twilight operator.
Oh, fuck. Did that throw you? Night. No, I thought by saying, because we've had a twilight and we've had a daytime, but we've never had a night. That's why I was like.
Oh, man. I don't know Brody Grundy.
No.
He's just a wild card.
Okay. Now, this one. Oh, if I give you the clue, I reckon it's going to give it away. Okay, no, I'm going to give you the clue because it's worth it. who would you like to see as the halftime entertainment at the grand final? My clue is, Will, if it was Friday night footy, you might see these guys as the entertainment.
Well, I mean, for a man who, when asked who his favourite player was, he said, it's a swan, I imagine, coming from the hills of Adelaide, like Brody Grundy does, I imagine. It might be suffering pressure themselves, the Hilltop Hoods, Debris on the decks.
In the South Australian theme.
I think the Hilltop Hoods would be a great AFL grand final.
They should be. They're both big Port Adelaide fans.
Absolutely, they would be great.
Which reminds me, did you see that video of Tame Impala have redone the Frio song?
So I haven't watched the video yet, but I saw the headline that Kevin Parker had done it. He was a Fremantle fan and he'd done a new version of the Fremantle song.
Yeah. Marginally better. Marginally. Like not even one of Australia's best musical acts can save that song. You know what? We can't do it today because I'm on the road and I don't have my proper gear, but next week we can play it and we can break it down because I was quite excited to hear it. And I was like, oh geez, like it's really unsavable, this song.
Well, I was like, is it going to go for 17 minutes?
It sort of does.
I'm like, is this going to be so? Oh, does it? Or it feels like
It sounds like it's how many things can I make rhyme with Frio?
I'm like he's rung the Corey line, Lisa Simpson style. Yeah. It's just like, Rio, I get a Rio, I do a Grio, I've got bad B.O., I'd like to C.O.,
I really said that one, I think. Okay, and staying with the South Australian theme, who's his favourite AFLW player?
Aaron Phillips.
If he wasn't a footballer, what would you like to be? And this is something that I reckon you could guess about him. It would be an athlete in a different sport.
Something. Or an athlete of some... a basketballer.
No. Think more like, you know, the mix between hippie and, you know, intellectual.
A surfer,
professional surfer. What's a talent that he wished he had? I'm actually surprised he doesn't have this talent because he looks like the first guy to party who would probably do this.
To play the guitar.
Don't you reckon? He looks like the dude who starts playing Hallelujah at the party. Everyone's having a good time at the party and then fucking Brody Grundy sits down because there's a bunch of girls there and he just pulls out the guitar and starts singing Hallelujah.
Then Clarko comes in, grabs another guitar.
Okay, here we go. Here's the big one. What makes you laugh? Now, it's not necessarily a person. It's a personality trait, that's why I'm saying that maybe he could be talking about you because I think some people could describe you this way in relation to comedy.
Well, now it's pure self-serving, whatever the answer is.
Well, how about this?
Rorschach test of me going, like if I said intelligent comedy, for example, or intellectual comedy or like news-based comedy or something like that.
Let me reframe it.
It would be, yeah.
if you were to describe a manic pixie dream girl, what is a personality trait that you might say about that trope?
Alternative?
Close. A bit more like...
offbeat?
Yeah, that you're getting there. Yeah, very Zooey Deschanel.
Quirky.
Quirky. He likes quirkiness. That makes him laugh. Describe yourself in one word. And this is where I think, we're getting to the heart of Brody Grundy.
Human.
I would love it. I'm not sure if I've ever talked about this before, but when INXS were looking for the nude lead singer and JD Fortune was competing for it on that reality show, there's an amazing scene. He had two tattoos on his forearms. One said human, the other forearm said being. And one of the other contestants was talking shit about him, and JD pulled him aside and said, "Hey, man, just because you're a human being, that doesn't stop you," and he swapped his arm around, "from being human." I could totally see Brody Grundy getting human being tattooed on his forearms. No, he describes himself as inquisitive.
Okay.
What did you learn about yourself during the COVID lockdown?
That they don't make beds for people as tall as me.
Well, he's not talking about masturbation, but it sounds like masturbation because he says that the most important thing he learned in lockdown was the importance of self-love. And the only reason I know that he's not talking about masturbation is he then clarifies by saying, i.e. reading and exercising.
Yeah. Like originally it said, i.e. not masturbating, but they punched it up.
The biggest thing you missed during hub life. Okay, this is a long answer. There's no way you'll be able to guess this because it's not a dog. I'll just tell you what it is and you can break it down. So the biggest thing he missed during hub life is a balanced lifestyle, doing things I enjoy away from football, outside of the club environment. I missed the perspective that this brings.
Mm.
Inquisitive.
I hate football. It's lucky I'm getting $1 million a year to play football, because what I'm really saying is I hate football. You know I hate? Being locked in a room with other footballers, having to talk about football and think about football all the fucking time. You know the thing I miss? Not being at the football, not having to fucking play football. I want to spend some of this $1 million a year I'm getting paid to play football on not being at football.
I mean, compare this one to like Johnny McCluck-Cluck's player profile where he's talking about, you know, the things you hate the most was so-and-so shit rig. Like there is a golf, you know, between certain AFL players. And there's like at one end of the spectrum, you've got Brody Grundy, who's talking about a balanced lifestyle and doing the things away from football and the perspective it brings. And then you've got, I hate my teammate, shit rig. What's the most enjoyable thing about hub life for Brody? It relates to an earlier answer.
It relates to an early
answer. I mean, you know what? I'm just going to have to give you the answer again because it's so interesting. Yeah. We need to break it down. So the most enjoyable thing about hub life was surfing in Noosa with Langes and Lynchy and the DMs in the spa with Trey Rusko. What is going on with Trey Rusko in the spa?
I mean, are they having deeper meaningfuls? Because does he mean D&Ms?
Yeah.
Is that actually what he means?
D&Ms,
does he say D&Ms or did he say DMs?
D&Ms. Meaningfuls.
Yeah, I thought for a second he was like the DMs in the spa where we were like, we're getting a lot of fruity direct messages is what I'm saying.
What do you think he was talking about with Trey? I mean, I guess about how much money he was earning to do this thing he doesn't really enjoy.
It was just real good to be like, wouldn't you love to not be here talking about football, thinking about football, spending these millions of dollars?
What's the least enjoyable thing about hub life?
Football, having to play football, people talking to me constantly about football, not having my alone time, not having my time for quiet contemplation about the mysteries of life.
This is a pretty typical answer.
And my teammate shit rig.
Being away from family. Who was the biggest pest during hub life? Okay, again, I'm going to give you the answer because we
Nathan
need to...
Nathan Buckley. He kept wanting me to fucking play football, to talk to me about football. It was so annoying. It was not good for my work-life balance.
The biggest pestering hub life was, again, it was Trey Rusko, And he was a pest because he kept coming into my room for hot chocolates and snacks and wanting me to drive him to the shops. Who is this Trey Rusko character? Is he just like a figment of Brody's imagination? I've never heard of him. And it's odd behavior.
Let's look up Trey Rusko and find out a little bit about Trey Rusko if we can. Because this, he feels like at this stage, like a teaser pony. Like somebody that the club have employed because nobody else wants to have deeper meaningfuls with Brody in the spa. Brody grabs his towel, walks out half naked in front of everybody, puts down his guitar and he says, guys, anyone want to come in the spa for a deeper meaningful? I want to talk about how much I hate football. And like they hired Trey Rusko to fill that role.
Okay, here's a little mini pocket profile from the Collingwood Football Club website. Trey Rusko is a Western Australian. He was a breath of fresh air for the Pies when he was given a four-game stint mid-season in 2020, displaying promising signs. He kicked two goals against Adelaide and North Melbourne and was lively against the Sydney Swans in his debut match. Possessing a high footy IQ, Will, Rusko is a talent who could excite Collingwood fans for the years to come. So taking a look at him, not dissimilar in his style. He's got like a ponytail. He's got a forearm tattoo. I could see these guys going. And he's played a total of seven games since last year. He was drafted at number 55. He's 92 kilos, 193 centimetres, medium forward. Yeah, I could see these two getting along.
I feel like he's the dude we've got to get the human being tattoo.
Yes.
If the club came to Trey Rusko and said, look, you're banging on the door of selection. You've got a lot of promise. We love the D&Ms you're having with Brody in the spa. But just to remind him occasionally that, you know, he is a human being, but he's also being human. Could you please get human and being tattooed on your arms and we'll play you in the first? He would do that, wouldn't he?
Trey? I think so. He's already got a tattoo on one forearm. It's just all he has to do is get another one on the other. What about him coming into the room for hot chocolates and snacks and wanting him to drive him to the shops? Like, it says here that Trey Rusko was born in, he was born in 2001, so he's clearly old enough to drive.
Yeah, but he'd be on the cusp, like he's 18, 19, you know, like so. He just doesn't like to drive after a couple of hot chockies. You know, he's full of sugar.
Were they allowed to go to the shops in Hub Life? I thought they were banned from leaving the bubbles.
Well, there might have been shops in the bubble. Might have been in a big enough bubble that there was some sort of shop that he had to drive into. I think Trey just likes hanging out with Brody.
Yeah, it's cute.
Is what I'm hearing.
I think the teaser.
Trey's like, hey, what are you up to? What are you up to, Brody? Yeah. And then it's like Brody's in his room, you know, just getting away, thinking about anything but football. Trey comes in with a hot chockey.
Yeah.
Put some marshmallows in the top of yours, Brody.
When I hang my Collingwood Guernsey on the outside of the door, that's because I'm inside giving myself some self-love. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if you know what I mean. Reading. And exercising
my balls, if you know what I mean. You don't have to say if you know what I mean. After the end, I get it, Brody. You don't
know what you mean.
I know exactly.
I've got one thing to ask you, Brody. Can you drive me to the shops?
What's the first place you want to visit after restrictions are lifted? And again, this is not your typical I want to go to America or Bali answer. This is not the birthplace of civilization, but it is one of the it's one of the early, one of the birthplaces. So I don't know how to describe
one of the
it.
Early adopters.
One of the wonders of the world is there.
Greece, China, Italy.
Where do mummies come from? Not GWS.
Yeah. He wants to go and visit Shane Mumford's birthplace, the birthplace of Mummy, one of his other idols.
Again, not a typical answer. What's a favourite sporting event you would like to attend? I mean, how do I put this? So this is a traditional, it's a sport that is only played in one country. You can only be a specific body type and shape to contend in it. I don't believe there's any female
sumo wrestling
in Japan. I mean, that's an answer I'd expect Brody Grundy to give, right? You know, it's not typical.
Yeah.
Sumo wrestling. There's no bloody Super Bowl or NBA finals for this guy. Nah. He wants to go there and sip his green tea.
That's where I want to go.
What's the last TV series you binged on? I mean, he looks like a character. He could be a character in this series as a hunky doctor.
Not Grey's Anatomy.
Grey's Anatomy.
Really?
Really.
He's a Meredith Grey fan.
Yes. All right. Now, this is the big one. This is the one where I'm like, oh, who the fuck are we dealing with here? Okay. Three people you would like to meet. The first thing I'll say is none are athletes. So straight away, we're in Brody land. There are no athletes here. One is a podcaster. One is an English comedian. And one is an English pop star.
Joe Rogan?
Tick.
One is an English comedian. Russell Brand?
Tick. If you get this last one, then you are definitely, I feel like you've finally got in the mind of Brody Grundy. English pop star.
And the third, English pop star.
Huge.
Yeah. Pop star, not like a rock star, not like pop a Gallagher. Star. Like we're talking like a pop star. Male or female?
Male.
Robbie Williams.
Oh, no. Do you want to have another go at that? No. Oh. Think about who is probably the biggest.
Oh, Ed Sheeran.
Ed fucking Sheeran.
Fuck, of course. Ed
Sheeran. Ed Richards. yep. So that's the that's his guess. Joe Rogan, Russell Brand, Ed Sheeran. What are your thoughts on that? What that dinner would be like?
Well, you know what it is. It's a real sign of like where Brody's alternative look at life is. He's not that alternative.
Mm.
He's just alternative for an AFL player. He's got a ponytail. He thinks about things other than football. You know, he. Like, listens to Joe Rogan, which, look, maybe he's just like, you know, I like to hear provocative ideas. Maybe he doesn't subscribe to everything that, you know, Joe Rogan subscribes to. Maybe he does.
Maybe Russell he just Brand, wants that, to try DMT.
He just loves eating elk. He likes to hunt his own elk. It's his favorite thing. It's his chorizo pasta. I think that Russell Brand, he looks a bit like Russell Brand. That doesn't surprise me. And it's that spiritual, that faux spiritual, you know, like, that repackaged Russell Brand's taken, you know, the Alcoholics Anonymous book and just repackaged it in sort of a commercial and fun way to understand. And I think that there's a market for that sort of pseudo spirituality or whatever it is that Russell does. And then Ed Sheeran is like, yeah, he's like a pop star. It's pop music, but he's like he's scruffy and he doesn't like dress like a pop star.
He's got a tattoo. Like, he's got a tattoo or tattoos or something. You're right. Yeah, it's totally. safe alternatism. Yeah. Who's his favorite team or sports person outside of football? It's an American team.
Basketball?
Yes.
The Golden State Warriors.
The LA Lakers. Geez, I really thought. Look, this is not a slight on you. I really thought you would have gotten more, but as I'm reading this, I'm like, it's impossible because he is so not typical. You've been conditioned 10 weeks of doing pocket profiles to just pick up all the signals of, you know, where a player's going. But how
also,
could you...
for me, if you're like a bit of an alternative dude and then you're back for the Lakers,
yeah,
like that's
the Ed Sheeran. That's the Ed Sheeran of basketball.
Well, it's not even. Golden State Warriors is the Ed Sheeran. Like, you know, they've had the same level of success. They're still in California. Like, you're getting all the benefits of the Lakers, but just a little bit of the cool cred of being the Golden State Warriors. It's a hipper, like San Francisco. It's like a hipper part of California. Like, that's a very predictable choice, the Lakers.
What's the best sporting event you've ever seen? It was a soccer match. Barcelona, and I'm going to get this name wrong, and people always fucking torch me when I mispronounce things, but is it pronounced Juventus? Juventus?
Juventus, I believe.
Juventus. Yeah. Okay. All right. If you won $10 million, what would you buy first? And it's just World a very peace. Generic answer. For $10 million? Jesus Christ.
I'd put a down payment on World Peace. Bitcoin, Dogecoin. He'd buy a house.
No, he'd buy a trip around the world. He needs to see things, man. He needs to go skinny dipping off the coast of Costa Rica with spider monkeys, man. Take some DMT, kiss the face of God. You know what I'm talking about? Something people would be surprised to learn about you. I'm not surprised to hear
this.
I hate
football. I could not, like, honestly, it's the worst game that I've ever seen or played in my life.
He's studying an MBA. M for Matthew, MBA. That's not surprising at all. He strikes me as someone who can't wait to get to his life outside of football. His first car was a Australian classic.
A Ford Falcon.
Holden Commodore. What's his normal coffee order?
Is he alternative in his coffee order?
No.
This is pretty generic
and weight conscious generic.
Skinny flat white, skinny latte. Skinny latte,
but with one sugar because he likes to spice things up. Mm. What's his dream place to live? And I'm going to have to Google it because, I mean, I was joking before about him wanting to skinny dip off the coast of Costa Rica, but I think this might be in Costa Rica. it's called
the Magical Kingdom of Narnia.
Cinque Terre. Okay. It's in Italy.
He wants to travel the world.
So what's he going to do after football?
Travel the world. Travel.
What is the most enigmatic thing you could say?
Live.
It's also...
Eat, pray, love.
It's close. To be determined.
Retire. To be determined. Oh, yeah.
The future
right.
is not
The title of his autobiography, To Be Determined. It's a choose-your-own-adventure, but I'm the person choosing the adventure.
That's a great name for a footballer's biography, to be determined, because I was...
Well, determined to spend my life anywhere but football.
Let's dip into the Two Guys One Cup mailbag. Yes. If you want to follow us, we're at Two Guys One Cup AFL on Twitter and Instagram. In fact, every Thursday we do our tips on Instagram. It might be a bit difficult this week because of the current state of lockdowns in Melbourne, which I'm currently in, and I may be travelling. Yes. Stay tuned. We'll send a message out on the Instagram tomorrow to say if we're going to do the tips and when that might be. It might have to happen a little bit earlier, or it may not happen at all. So stay tuned for that exciting bit of news. But for now, this is from Dom. I've got an even better idea for Melbourne season. They stay on top of the ladder, win every game from here convincingly, and then they have a massive COVID outbreak the week of the grand final and the season is called off.
I mean, it's pretty good. It's pretty
tough. I like it better.
I mean, losing like they did to Adelaide gave us a little sniff at the old Melbourne for a second, didn't it? There was just a little bit of, you're like, oh, I like this. I remember this too. This is fun.
Especially in the circumstances with clearly a deliberate out of bounds that wasn't paid.
I mean, yes. I mean, it was... It felt like the old Melbourne just for a second. It felt like the old times. You know what I mean? Richmond are in ninth place. Melbourne were losing games that they should have won. Like, it felt like everything was just like, oh, this is how it used to feel.
Yeah. Jesse wants your opinion on this nickname he's come up with. For the St Kilda footballer, Dean Kent. So you start Dean Kent, Kentos, Mentos, the Fresh Maker. What are your thoughts, Will?
Love it. Because I just assumed at Kent he was going to go Clark. Like That would just be the place where I would go at Kent. I saw Kent coming and I was like, Clark, rubber, fucking prophylactic, condom, Dom, good. We call him Goody.
I do believe there was a Saints game a couple of years ago where Dwayne Russell went off the deep end with those comic book puns where he said, Dean Kent, they've got a Clark, they've got a Kent, they've got a Jack Steele, Man of Steel, and they've got a Matthew Parker who's like Peter Parker. And it's like, all right, Dwayne, settle down with the hyperbole. You're stretching it a bit too much. They have some surnames that are similar to comic book characters. Doesn't mean we have a team full of superheroes.
He's in the hands of the trainer, Dr. Octopus, the new... No? Dwayne, of course, his nickname, Pipe, one of the good football nicknames, Dwayne Pipe.
That's because he loved to hit the ice pipe, is that right?
He was in Geelong.
Rory wants to know which Games of Thrones characters are AFL players, coaches, footy personalities the equivalent of. I believe we've done that in an earlier episode. So, Rory, you might have to trawl through some old episodes to get to the Game of Thrones stuff. Josh wants to know, before the 2016 grand final, what game, Will, was it that you watched the most and what was yours, Charlie? Well, I think that there's two games I watched a lot. The 2005 qualifying final where we beat Adelaide in Adelaide. Rob Harvey played an absolute blinder of a game, kicked, I think, three goals, had 27 possessions. James Gwilt made his debut or played his third game. We dominated. And then the Rob Harvey 350th game where we beat West Coast in Perth. They were the two home and away games that I've watched a lot. Oh, one's a final, but yeah, they're two games I watched a lot. What are yours, Will?
I rarely watch games again. I've only ever watched the 2016 grand final like three times, four times.
Right. But you'll watch bits of it, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen packages of it. I've seen, you know, I've seen the tackle on Buddy Franklin and the Tom Boyd goal, like, you know, probably 200 times. But I'm almost due to sit down and watch it again. Like, I would love to sit down and watch it again. But I'm not one of those people who ever, like, sometimes even if I've seen a bit of a game, I find it hard to go back and watch the entire replay. So if I caught, like, the third quarter, I still find it hard to go back to the start and try to watch the whole game again. I don't know why that is, but.
The Unplugged podcast, shout out, guys. I love your show. God, I mean, I thought it was tough doing a show where half the hosts have to talk about St Kilda. Imagine doing an entire podcast where everyone on the team is a St Kilda supporter. I look forward to hearing your thoughts this Thursday Unplugged podcast, but they want to know my thoughts on the left-lean presser and the Bassett email messaging. Well, as I stated earlier, I didn't mind the Bassett email. It was a bit surprising, I think, for some Saints fans to find out that we're not meant to be in our window till next year. And the left-lean presser, oh, fuck, man. I think that they were just taking a bullet for Brett Ratten. I think that Brett Ratten has just had to front the media so many times this year that they said, look, someone's got to speak on behalf of the club. We'll do it. I don't think anyone at St Kilda is hiding from the fact that we're having a terrible year, but no one's coming up with any answers. And I think that's the frustrating part.
It's hard to hide from.
Yeah.
That's part of the thing with the email. When they say, oh, our window was really next year, and people are like, it should be this year. And you go, well, if it was this year, we've really fucked it up. Like, if we thought we were going to, do you mean? Like,
yeah.
No, we thought we were going to be good next year. This is just part of it. Is actually a much better message if you take the time to think about it than, oh, no, we thought we were going to be guns this year. We're as shocked as everybody that we're terrible.
Brian says, I hope Charlie relaxes a bit. There is hope on the horizon. It's the far horizon, but it is good. There will be two kings at his club in the next few years. This is the Twins' goal they are working towards. Yeah, look, I think it'd be great if we get a couple of kings, but well, they're going to need some help. And we don't seem to have a lot of depth in that department at the moment.
Justin says, what you really need, like, because you've already got enough jacks. If you have a couple of kings as well, you're starting to get together a pretty handy, like, yeah, poker to get
an ace.
You got to get ace Cordy back, and you've got to get a queen. I think there'd be it's an easy name to target in recruiting, is what I would say.
Justin wants to know, did the AFL deliberately schedule the Two Guys One Cup and the Junk Time AFL Pod Cup on the same weekend, and do the Bulldogs and the Blues now play each other in a final?
I did have that thought, actually, when I was listening to Junk Time this week. I was like, oh, their teams played each other this week as well. The Blues, you know, are a chance still to make the finals. Like a couple of weeks ago, there was that conversation around the idea that the finals were completely locked away and the teams in there. There still is a possibility that the finals are alive. And I think that there's still three, four, five teams, if they got a little mini run on, like Gold Coast, obviously, you know, when Matt Rowell's back, that still have a chance to make the finals.
Jack says, I emailed you guys when the Saints were 50 points down on the weekend. Charlie, could you describe your feelings and attitude in the build-up to the game as it started, the first half, and then as it got onto the 100-point margin post-game thoughts? Jack, why would I do that?
And do it and do it real slow.
Yeah, it sounds a bit twisted, doesn't it?
Because I've got some self-love that I need to attend to. Start
Daniel
the spa.
Says, given the respective demoralized supporter bases, will there be any noticeable difference in the number of people at the St Kilda North game as a result of lockdown? Yeah, I reckon probably numbers, regardless of lockdown, were going to be pretty low. I now imagine they're going to be very low. Also, is Shin Bonus Spirit a viable vaccine candidate, and will the government roll it out by 2024-ish? If you had to take, like, just say they discovered that Shin Bonus Spirit is actually an effective vaccine, but to get it, you can only take it through the gut, and the needle's got to be punched in there by Ben Cunnington. It's 100% effective. Would you take it?
Nothing so far. I mean, apart from the option that I get to be in the stands and get it kicked into me by Marcus Bontempelli, if my next best option is going to get punched into my guts by Ben Cunnington, I'm fine with that.
Ben wants to know, this is more of a comment. Ben wants to say, the footy media has made everyone believe the Eagles are complete failures on the road, but they have one of the best interstate records of the last 4 years. Thoughts? And he's linked to an article that says that the best team performed interstate teams are Richmond, Port, Collingwood, Geelong, Melbourne and West Coast. Melbourne are one of the best interstate teams. Who would have thought that? The Saints and the Bulldogs are the bad, and the worst are Carlton, North Melbourne, Adelaide, Fremantle and the Gold Coast. I don't know that there isn't necessarily a narrative that the Eagles suck on the road. I think it's more that they're much better at home. You'll always tip them at home, but you're 50-50 when they travel.
I agree. They have a fine enough record on the road, you know, and they have to do it, you know, as often as anyone in the hardest of the conditions. Like the fact that I think Shannon Hearn became their like equal most capped or most capped player. No one at the Eagles has ever played 300 games. Like, and they say that part of that is, you know, the attrition of just having to fly and play on the road all the time. All teams find it hard to win on the road. Like most teams win home games and they lose when they're on the road, and the Eagles are on the road a lot. Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. It's more that when they're in Western Australia, they're invincible. Like when they're on the road, Fremantle and West Coast look like they're about the same skilled team. You're like,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, they could win, they could lose. But when Fremantle played West Coast, like West Coast looked like they were 100 points better.
Matt wants to know, did we watch the game together? No, thank goodness. In fact, we actually had
talk about it, but we had some other things on and we couldn't do it.
Yeah, but even prior to that, we had a very generous invitation from Amit Baines, formerly of St Kilda Football Club, now at the Western Bulldogs, and I bet you he regrets that decision. But he invited us to the Bulldogs club function to watch the game together. And I was thinking, God, imagine if I'd gone to that. Because I would have felt, it would have been a real challenge because I'm very polite and I don't like kind of, you know, acting ungrateful or inconsiderate or whatever. And so I probably would have sat there for the whole game because I was like, well, you know, I was invited by the Bulldogs. I'm a guest and, you know, Meep got us these tickets. But geez, I'm so glad we did not go.
I'm glad we did not go. I don't think I have that level of compassion in me when I'm also being distracted by wanting to watch, because I care for you. I would be distressed on your behalf, but at the same time, I'd be wanting to let my eyes soak in the majestic glory that was unfolding in front of me.
Well, speaking of that, Winking Abscess wants to know why the Bulldogs the most handsome team every year.
They're handsome this year. Like, they play an attractive brand of football, and it is by attractive footballers. That's what I will say about the Bulldogs. There are some good-looking cats.
There are. Sandy says, teams have to flee Victoria. There's a hub in northern New South Wales. Which players are you both volunteering to accommodate for a month? Someone to help around the house or the yard, Will? Someone to protect your bins, Charlie? Who would I like to billet at my house? Matt Rowell. He seems like, I mean, you know, I could leave him to watch the baby. You know, he'd be totally dependable. Take him into the backyard, kick a footy around. I think he'd be a good little house guest, Matt Rowell. Make some chorizo pasta. I know I wouldn't have to feed, like, it wouldn't be complicated for me to cook for him.
I mean, I live on a farm, so you've got to say Ben Cunnington.
Oh, he'd be great.
I mean, I've got some fences that need repairing. I've got, like, you know, the stables need to be cleaned out. There's a whole, like, the gutters are an absolute nightmare. All those things, Ben Cunnington would absolutely know.
How do you pronounce this? Shikimi. Shikimi says, with the Dogs being the best first quarter side running away with games early, will use Eddie to tell Gill how important it is to shorten the games up for the rest of the season. How did you guys go last year with the shorter games? Your first quarter, still winning first quarters?
We weren't as good as we are this year. Yeah. So
why would you go back?
It's fine how it is. However it is right now seems fine.
And the last little comment is from Marcus, who's like, hey, Charlie, is it time to coin a new term? Dissaintified, dissainted, dissainting. I think Marcus might be a demon supporter who's probably put up a lot of shit the past 2 years. All right, Marcus, I'll let you have those three free hits. Yes, that sucks. Okay, that's it for Two Guys One Cup this week. Hopefully, I'll be back next week. I mean, who knows? Maybe the competition won't be back next week. And it would bother me, to be honest. Let's just take a pause. Everyone just take a break from AFL right now.
The Bulldogs are about the demons. And I've said a lot of shitty things about the demons in the last 12 months. And I think there's a fair chance the Demons will probably beat the Bulldogs because the Bulldogs have had an interrupted week, and I just think the Demons are a slightly better team still. But it will be interesting to see. I am looking forward to the game on Friday night to see where the Bulldogs are at.
Yeah, it'll be a good one. And hopefully tomorrow we can give you our tips on who we think is going to win. But for now, play on, not 15.
Well,
we are two guys, one car.